Hey, Tripodders, this is Lane here, and I just want to let you know you are about to hear a special edition of Tripod. I handed the mic over to some students. This group of students is called the New Orleans Scholars, and they're a group of young people from two high schools in New Orleans, Metairie Park Country Day High School and Benjamin Franklin High School. And each semester, this group of scholars collaborate with a community group to explore some local challenge, whether it's economic, environmental, political, or historical. So they teamed up with Tripod on the historical angle and decided to do an episode. So this is all them, student-produced, student-narrated, student-written, and here we present an examination of the St. Augustine Church and its determination to stay true to its founding principles in a time when racial unity is at the forefront of national discourse. So without further ado, I hand it over to the scholars. Enjoy.
This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson.
We're the New Orleans Scholars, and we're taking over Tripod this week. Bye, Lane.
What?
Don't worry, Lane will be back, but this is our episode. Let's start with a familiar voice.
I think it is one of the tragedies of our nation, one of the shameful tragedies, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours, in Christian America.
That's Martin Luther King Jr.
Yep, he's speaking on Meet the Press on April 17th, 1960. Addressing the reality of church segregation in America.
I definitely think the Christian church should be integrated, and any church that stands against integration and that has a segregated body is standing against the spirit and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and it fails to be a true witness.
Wow, that's a powerful clip, but why are we listening to this?
That's a good question. So, you know, as New Orleans scholars, one way we take on today's local issues in the community is by looking into the backstory. And we've been talking a lot about race relations in New Orleans, which led us to the St. Augustine Church.
Back in October, we went to the St. Augustine Catholic Church in Treme because they were celebrating their 175th anniversary. And there's a lot to celebrate. Before the Civil War, St. Augustine Church might have been the most integrated congregation in the country.
Yeah, I remember Archbishop Gregory Amon saying something about this when he was officiating the anniversary mass.
The doors of this church have been open for 175 years. And the openness of those doors says to those passing by, all are welcome. That is very much a part of the tradition of St. Augustine Parish. Amen?
Amen.
The church we saw that Sunday morning looked nothing like the church Martin Luther King Jr. saw back in 1960. Looking around, there were all different types of people, black, white, young, and old. And everyone seemed to know each other well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember during the sign of peace, when people usually say hi to the neighbor on either side of them, the congregation walked around hugging everyone.
Yeah, I'd say this took a solid 10 minutes.
As newcomers to the church, we wanted to learn how and why the church was so interracial. So we went straight to the members of the congregation themselves to hear about this diverse culture. That's how we met Marge Palatu.
And one of the things I most love here is, parishioner-wise, we're interracial. And we get to know each other.
Marge grew up in Metairie, attending all-white churches.
In the white churches, you know, when I was going there, we didn't clap. We didn't go around and hug and take 15 minutes for a peace greeting.
She grew up going to church with people for years that she never even spoke to. Then she heard about St. Augustine and was attracted to what she calls a church family.
When I first heard this, where the black church calls themselves our church family, I was like, that is so beautiful. Because when I grew up too, you know, it was like the focus would go to church to pray to God, but it wasn't like coming together as a people.
This interracial church opened her eyes up to a lot more than religion. Marge realized that she hadn't spent much time with that many black people. Before she went to St. Augustine, her perception of other races was based on the media.
And one of the things that dawned on me after I was here for some years, that it's stereotypes that keep people apart, races apart. because we do. We see on TV primarily the violence that goes on.
She says she would have never met someone like Danzel Square, who's been a part of the St. Augustine church family his entire life.
I feel like I was born in the church. first thing I saw, you know, plus the proof of my mom's pictures, was the St. Augustine church. So, you know, it's all in my life. I can last an eternity at this church, so.
What makes Mass here so special?
Oh, the jazz. The jazz, the uplifting beats, you know, the congregation, the community, the members, you know, the connection that we have with our members as well as new members, you know, it's a bond, you know, it's a unity inside of St. Augustine Church. We accept all and all members, and that is exciting to be each Sunday, so.
And the church has excited enough other people to keep itself going for 175 years.
But 175 years is a long time, and we found out the church wasn't integrated that whole time.
More on that coming up.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. We're the New Orleans Scholars.
Hey, I say, who that? Who that?
And we're back, and we realize we need a bit more historical background before we keep moving forward. So we asked Cody Roberts, assistant professor of history at Louisiana State University, to help us out.
So St. Augustine's is one of the first three Catholic churches built in New Orleans. At the time, the church is pretty interracial. Back in the 1840s, what the Catholic Church used to do was they sold pews. So you would get a pew that was specifically for you and your parishioners. And by the time you get to the 1850s, 1860s, about half of the pews are purchased by local, what we would today call Afro-Creoles, people of African descent who are French-speaking and French-educated.
The St. Augustine Church welcomed everyone, despite the color of their skin. While other Catholic churches at the time were integrated, white people had founded them.
What's different about St. Augustine is that it was founded by white and free people of color. But in the early 20th century, that integration stopped. Cody told us that starting in 1920, the black members had to go to a different church in the neighborhood called St. Peter Claver. St. Augustine became an all-white church.
These racial tensions of the segregation era affected St. Augustine, just like they affected the rest of Southern society. During the time, black parishioners did not feel welcome. This brings us back to Martin Luther King's comments that segregated churches stand against the spirit of Jesus Christ.
But it was interesting. When we shared MLK's sentiment with Cody, he said that there were actually some positives that came from separate congregations.
So the upside of belonging to what is, for all intents and purposes, a segregated church, right? Having separate churches gives African Americans an institutional base for other social projects because African Americans had a separate space where they could work through their own goals, their own politics, their own issues. So having a separate space isn't always inherently negative.
But Cody says that this period, when black people were kicked out and forced into another church, makes it tough for him to wholeheartedly celebrate St. Augustine's history.
I'm a little cautious because I know how troubled the racial history is at St. Augustine's, how back and forth they've been. I guess I'm more skeptical than most folks might be when they see like the anniversary celebrations. But again, knowing that the church has had a history of having black parishioners and then pushing them out, and then black parishioners having to fight to keep their position in the community, I think that's problematic.
After the 1960s, St. Augustine Church became an all-black church for a number of years, in part because a lot of white residents left the Treme after desegregation. Plus, it almost closed after Hurricane Katrina. But we're not going into that for this story.
Back to Cody's point. There were benefits and drawbacks to both segregated and integrated congregations.
St. Augustine is a good example of how that can succeed when it's working, and then when it goes wrong, when you try to impose segregation on that kind of space, how badly it can go.
The Treme neighborhood is gentrifying. As new people move in, many of them white, Cody hopes the church continues to reflect and serve the families that have been living in that neighborhood for generations.
What I would encourage for the local community is to keep an eye on things that affect that community and make sure that the church doesn't lose a lot of its history, that you don't lose this generation of parishioners who's been there for forever. Because it's great to have folks, right, coming and going and all the time and keeping the neighborhood vibrant and dynamic. as long as it's not at the exclusion of the people who are there already.
Cody's advice comes full circle with Archbishop Amon's sermon, saying that even the smallest of beginnings can thrive.
That if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do great things for God. Perhaps it was the size of a mustard seed when they started 175 years ago, but what has happened in this time has grown to be a great mustard tree.
He's referring to a parable in the Bible about the mustard seed. Mustard seeds are tiny, but this story says great works of faith can come from something that small, like one single church.
Do you know that the mustard tree can grow to over 20 feet tall? May I suggest that St. Augustine Parish has a mustard tree and is a mustard tree that's 21 feet tall.
Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlo Center for New Orleans Studies.
Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music.
Catch Tripod on air Thursdays during Morning Edition and again on Mondays during All Things Considered.
You can hear Tripod anytime, anywhere by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, and you can give the show a great review.
Tripod is also on social media at TripodNola and online at WWNO.org.
We're the New Orleans Scholars, and we'll tripod you later.
Now when the saints marching in, when the saints go marching in, yes, I want to be in that number. When the saints